Hebrews chapter 10. And last week we left off with the writer of Hebrews telling Jewish believers to hold on tight to their confession of Jesus and their faith in Jesus. Because if they let that go, if they let go of that, their confession of the Lord and their faith in Jesus' sacrifice, if they let that go and go on sinning willfully, talking willfully here, let go of Jesus and then go on willing sinfully, in that state of heart and mind, they are back to really not having a sacrifice for their sins because there's no faith in there. There's no connection. And again, we've talked about this a little bit. You know, there's a debate. Can you lose your salvation? Because we'll see in some scriptures here in Hebrews, it tells us both. Seems that way. So, you know, how do we reconcile that? You know, just make sure we're not. I don't want to test that. We don't want to test whether we can lose our salvation, do we? No, no. In God's word, Jesus said to abide in him. What's abide mean? Stay close. Stay close. And we don't want to come to think that if we, you know, sin today, you know, we leave church this morning, get in our cars, and we're driving, and somebody runs a red light, and, you know, driving in New Jersey, it can be stressful, it can be challenging as a believer. You know what I'm saying? You know? So, you know, we come out of church and that happens, and then we're like, so have we lost our salvation? No. You know, we're still sons and daughters because we still have a heart for the Lord and by faith believe in his sacrifice for our sins. You know, we can lose fellowship with the Lord. You know, so again, I'm not going to go into that whole thing, but I just want to, you know, let you know what this says. You know, and he says here, and God's judgment is again hanging over their heads. Because they're not having faith in God's sacrifice anymore. They're letting go of Jesus. But we look at Peter. Did Peter let go of Jesus? When they arrested him, he denied him three times. Did he really let go of his faith? I don't think so, but he certainly came back, right? So he didn't let go of his faith. He didn't let go. So, in verse 32 of chapter 10, in verse 31, he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And before that, in verse 30, he says, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, he throws this in there, the Lord will judge his people. Right? So, with that, he says in verse 32, but recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, after your eyes were opened, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. So the writer says to them, because again, this whole thing is about these Jewish Christians, you know, thinking about just going back to Judaism, back to their Jewish roots and their ways, and just leaving Christianity, just throwing away the sacrifice of the Lord. And so he says to them, remember when you first came to the Lord and your eyes were opened to salvation through Jesus. You know, many of us can remember that day. For some people, it wasn't a specific day. I don't know what was my specific day. I know what month it was. October of 1878. No, 1978. But October of 1978. I don't remember the specific day. There was a specific day. I just don't remember the date. Some people know the date when the Lord opened up their eyes or that time period. So he's telling them, go back and remember. Because obviously it's been a number of years. And he says, remember how you, along with others, gladly endured public suffering for their faith. And they were new Christians. And yet they were being persecuted. And yet they endured that. You know, they were being mocked and beaten up and having their possessions taken, it says. But yet they endured that and went through that. And then they are reminded that they went through all of that in the rest of verse 34. They went through that because they were knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. So he's saying they went through all those things because they knew that when their life was over, they had eternal life in heaven waiting for them. That's how they got through all that. He's reminding them. Because they knew they had something better after they checked their last breath. And that's why the writer says in verse 35, therefore, do not cast away, throw away your confidence, which has great reward. So he's saying, don't throw away your confidence in Jesus because there will be a great reward in the end. But you have to ask, you know, with that, you know, what happened to them? You know, we know they had persecution stuff, but what happened that the writer would have to go in Hebrews, page after page, chapter after chapter, and try to encourage or convince these Christians to stick with their faith in Jesus? That's what he's been doing this whole time. But again, certainly we can apply this to our lives. Absolutely. What happened? Life happened. Hard times and persecution happened. And were still happening. And they were worn down. Worn down. They didn't have to go through any of that, being Jewish. I mean, they were under Roman rule, a lot of things, but you know, and it was some 30 years after Jesus' resurrection, and he hadn't returned as many of them thought he would, because he said he would. He didn't give a date. He didn't give a time, obviously. And so they were wondering, we're going through all this, and he hasn't come back like he said he would. Maybe he's not coming back. And it's really no different today with Christians, right? We could say that too. I mean, how bad does it have to get? How bad does it have to get before he returns? It's not about getting bad. It's about waiting in mercy. You may not think the Lord is having mercy by allowing this to go on, but he really is, because there's other people yet to be saved. That's what he's doing. He's, you know, Peter said he's not slack concerning his promise to come, as some count slackness. You know, but he doesn't want anyone to perish. I don't know about you. I want him to come right now. I'll go right from here. Is that selfish? If you put it into the perspective of God's will, yes, it is. Right? I want to go be with the Lord. So what's that say what I think about anybody else? Well, now that I'm saved, you can go. You know, no. That's not what he calls us to do. Even though we long for his return, our hearts burn for his return. Because life, just like these people, may be a little different, not suffering persecution, but illness, finances, family, whatever it is, job, can wear us down. Wear us down so much that we may want to leave Christianity. We may want to leave the Lord. And I know people who have done it, who have walked away from God's grace and mercy. Are they going to heaven? I hope so. I don't know. I don't know their heart. I can't judge them. I can't judge them. But again, as I said before, it's no surprise with God what's going on today. It's no surprise what's going on in our lives. How he allows things. But in his infinite wisdom, he's preserved this and other books and chapters in this word, in his word, for us this very day. Imagine that he made it so that we would have his living, holy word in our hands, in our phones. A couple thousand years later. And, you know, because just as Jesus said that we will have tribulation in this life. You know, that's a given, huh? Anybody here never have tribulation in your life? No. How about since you became a Christian? Of course not. So maybe that's a nice plaque we should have on our wall. Right? But the writer goes on to say in verse 36, because of those things that they were dealing with, the things that we deal with, this is why he says, for you have need of endurance. We have need of endurance. I have need of endurance. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Interesting. He's saying, yeah, you're going to need endurance. Because life is still going to be rough sometimes. He's saying, remember, life is short. And you receive his promise. A great reward. Not because we've done anything, because of what he's done. Great reward of eternal life. But it's interesting, he quotes here in verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now for them, they lived their lives and the Lord didn't return. But we are what? A couple thousand years closer to his return. And there's many signs, probably more than ever, that point to his return. Again, especially with Israel becoming a nation, which was miraculous. People just think it's another country, you know, with a lot of problems and troubles. Oh, that's prophetical. Big time prophetical. And just 100 years ago, people wouldn't even have imagined that that could have happened. Just 100 years ago. Forget about the past 2,000 years. And especially after World War II and the Holocaust, nobody could even begin to imagine that Israel, the people of Israel, would come together again as a nation. And that's prophesied. And that was the only prophecy left. Until the Lord would come. But he says here, for yet a little while, and he who was coming will not tarry. That's so much more applicable to us than them. But still, you know, the writer didn't know. We still don't know when the Lord's coming. It seems like he could come any day, but he might not. I don't know. We don't know. I don't bother myself with that. People are trying to figure it out. Because he says, for you have need of endurance in verse 36, so that after you have done the will of God, that's what we need to be worried about if we're doing God's will in our lives, not whether he's coming today or tomorrow or Saturday or whenever. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. This is very encouraging. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you for falsely for my sake. Isn't that encouraging? But he says, blessed are you. Right? So we're blessed if that's going on. And he says in verse 12, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For if they persecuted the prophets who were before you, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So Jesus is saying, listen, if you're being persecuted for my sake, for my name, you're in good company. They did it to the prophets. They did it to the apostles. They did it to Jesus himself. So back in Hebrews, verse 38, Chapter 10. He says, now that he's quoting, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Okay. So God is clear. It says, those who turn back from their faith in him cannot please him. Those who do that cannot please him. Let's go back to Matthew again. Chapter 10 this time. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And Jesus again says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. And back in Hebrews, you know, in the next chapter, chapter 11, he's going to say, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Now, with that, the writer does have some encouraging words in verse 39 of chapter 10. He says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition or to destruction, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. He's saying, listen, that's not us. We're not letting go of the Lord. We are those who believe, which results in the saving of our soul. And we may feel like giving up or that the enemy is winning. You ever feel like that? Giving up, enemy is winning. But we don't, because we know that believing by faith results in the saving of our soul. We're going to go back to. What are you going to go back to? Garbage? Hell? Pain? But as we come to chapter 11 now, we have to remember there was no chapter breaks when this was written. There's no chapter really in verses that was put in there later. So the writer continues in his current concern of walking or living by faith. And again, most of us, you know, didn't live by faith. We believed in God, but didn't really live by faith. We lived trying to be good. How did that work out? But he's going to continue by reminding them of certain people in the Old Testament that they knew very well, who walked with God by faith, not just a list of do's and don'ts. But you know, it's easy for us also to fall into the trap and make, even after we get saved, to make the Christian life a life of do's and don'ts. And of course, there are do's and don'ts in our life. But we can get to the point where we have kind of like a report card mentality, right? You know, times we may say, well, I read my Bible today, I prayed, I didn't say any bad words. You know, that's great. We feel good about that. And that is good, right? God wants us to live in a separate, a holy way, if you will. Not like we used to. You know, God calls us to change our hearts. But that doesn't save us or keep us saved in a way. All right? Now let's go to Romans. Chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Many of us know this scripture. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That day the Lord came into my life, I was a sinner. didn't think of myself as that. But I was a sinner. He came to me in my sinful state. Let's go to the right till we get to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. He's speaking to Christians. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. We were spiritually dead. And those things, he says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Right? Once walked. Among whom we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, not giving us what we deserve, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Right? So like I said, God came into my life when I was a sinner. Why? Because of love. I don't understand it. There's a lot of people that were better than me. I'm saved by grace. Let's go to verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So notice we're not saved by faith itself, but through faith. Through faith in what? Faith in the Lord Jesus. There's nothing we can do on our own to save us, because if there was, we would surely brag about it. That's what he says here. It's a gift from God, and we receive it by faith. So not only were they called to walk and live by faith, but all Christians as well. Now, back in Hebrews chapter 11, you know, and I spoke about that in Ephesians and Romans, because again, we can have sometimes a report card mentality with our spiritual walk with the Lord. And sometimes we don't have good days. Amen or no? Thank you. No, we don't have good days in the Lord. But again, that doesn't affect our salvation, because our salvation is by faith, not of works. He wants us to live a certain way in response to what he has done for us and given us. Right? And so, back in chapter 11 of Hebrews, the author begins with a description of faith, then a demonstration of faith, as he gives a summary of the lives of men and women in the Old Testament. And so, in verse 1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay? So, literally, this verse says, faith is the confidence of things hoped for, the proof of things which are not seen. Okay? So, faith is not a wishful thinking or hope-so kind of feeling. Faith is trusting in God's word and knowing without a doubt that he will do what he says he will do. Now, let's go back to Romans quickly, to Romans chapter 10. And he says, we know this verse, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and by hearing by the word of God. Right? He gives us the faith. I'm back in Hebrews, verse 2. He says, for by it, for by faith, the elders obtained the good testimony. And elders refer to the Old Testament believers, many of those who are going to be mentioned in this chapter. And he's saying that they were well spoken of, these people in the Old Testament, or they had a good reputation because of their faith. Verse 3. And he says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. What's he talking about? Well, by reading again, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. So, by faith we believe that God spoke the worlds and the universe into existence. Correct? Yes. It says that in his word a number of times. But it's not really hard to believe. And I was just talking online with people yesterday about this. You know, they just... about believing that God created everything. But it's not that hard to believe it. It's just like a painting or a building. Right? A painting and a building, if we see a painting, we see a building, there's proof that there was a painter, right? And there's proof that there was a builder. So, creation that we have is proof of a creator. Okay. Now, we believe that God created the heavens and the earth, but we now know, and this is going to get back to this scripture, we also now know that everything that God created is made up of atoms and other even smaller particles now. They call them quarks or neutrinos, and you know, they keep trying to break apart the smallest, they get the smallest particle that they can. They've been trying to, you know, smash it and get something even smaller to get at the essence of what everything is made of. So we know that everything God created is made up of things which are invisible to us. Can you see atoms? Or quarks or neutrinos? We can't see them. They're so tiny. It's, you know. But let's look at Colossians chapter 1. This is the Apostle Paul. And God gave this man some incredible wisdom and knowledge 2,000 years ago. And in verse 16 of Colossians, he says, for by him, or by the Lord, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and what? Invisible. How did Paul know that there were things that were created that were invisible if he couldn't see them? Whether thrones, dominions, principalities of power, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things what? Consist. He's the one holding it all together. The scientists don't understand why everything just doesn't fall apart and float away. It says it right there. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's the one holding it all together. So, all the things that we see are really made up of things we can't see. And so the point is, just because we can't see something doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And that's what, you know, talking with different people online. Well, I can't see God. Well, you can't see atoms and different things either. You know, there's a lot of things we can't see. But of course, with us, it's by faith, but it's not, again, not, we know. We know God's word is true because of what he's done for us. Things in our lives, seeing how, looking back, how he was with us. If God wasn't real, would I be here? Would you be here? Probably still be under the covers. Talks about faith being the evidence of what is not seen. I know without a doubt. Do you know without a doubt that he's real? If you don't, you can. I haven't seen heaven, but I know it exists. And I certainly want to be there with all of you and many others. Can't even imagine how it's going to be, right? No eye has seen, no ear has heard the things he has prepared for those who love him, right? But I know it's better than Bayonne. Amen?